Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page with myself, Patrick Donoghue, on Near FM. On the show tonight, we will preview the All-Ireland Camogie Finals with sports journalist Cliona Foley. And later in the show, I will be talking to Tommy Daly of Darrindale Football Club, who will tell us about the upcoming match against the Soap Stars. But first of all, I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Cliona Foley. Cliona, how are you today?
Good, Patrick. How are you?
Not too bad. So, Cliona, after the excitement of the football final last week, we're looking at the Camogie finals. Of course, it's a triple header, but a lot of focus will be on the senior match between Kilkenny and Cork. It was very close last year. Would you be expecting another very exciting and tight game?
Well, yeah, there's a couple of things, I suppose. One, last year's game wasn't exciting, really, until the last the last 7 or 8 minutes. It was these two teams had known each other very well. This is their fourth time to meet in the final in 5 years. And Kilkenny particularly play an alternate defensive system. So last year's final, actually, was the first final since 2009 that didn't even have a goal in it. So the final scoreline was 10-9, right? So that will give people some indication of the sort of game it was. And yes, the last 10 minutes were particularly thrilling. Kilkenny were ahead, and then there were 7 minutes extra time injury time added on. And Jem O'Connor, who the famous Cork centre-back, who was a real injury threat before the game, and feared she wouldn't play, and did play, heavily strapped, scored this monster of a point from inside her own half to equalise, just as the game had gone into injury time. And then, as I said, there were 7 minutes of it, and they batted fourth and back, and Julia White, a player who's had a terrible time with injuries and would normally be a starter for Cork but was kind of coming back after a few years, she came off the bench and practically with her first touch and practically with the last touch of the game scored this sensational point from the right wing. It was, you know, like one of those classic Joe Canning shots or whatever, and she shot it with about four Kilkenny players around her. I mean, people wondered how on earth did she get the shot off. So it was absolutely sensational victory for Cork. Kilkenny have only won one of their recent meetings, and Kilkenny had won the previous year. So Cork, if you like, stole the crown back off them at the last minute in a really amazing finish. So given that, we can only hope that they have something similar this year, Patrick. But their history, these two, is that they really do kind of play out these dogfights. As I said, Kilkenny have Anne Dalton, who's a brilliant, brilliant hurler. They tend to use her in a sweeper role and makes them. They also have really good other defenders, but it tends to make them very hard to break down. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, because Cork this summer, now they were on the easier side of the draw, but they've racked up 15 goals and 121 points. And contrast that with Kilkenny, who have only scored 143. And it's going to be very interesting to see, can they hold Cork and keep Cork as low again and beat them?
Yeah, and the fact that Kilkenny, it was tight enough in their semi-final, they had a closer semi-final. Do you think that might benefit them? But the fact that you mentioned Cork have been fairly comfortable getting to the final, do you think that that tough semi-final will benefit on Kilkenny on Sunday?
I do, and what I think benefited them more, even Patrick, is that they were on the tougher side of the championship draw, if you like. So they had Limerick. They were 3 points down to Limerick in their first championship opener game, and really had to fight their way out of it. Now they won it well in the end, but like Kilkenny or Limerick gave them a tough game. Waterford then gave them a tough game down in Walsh Park. They had an easy enough game against Clare, and then Galway gave them a tough game at home in Nolan Park, and then they met Galway again in the semi-final, and that again was a bit of an arm wrestle. Katie Power scored a goal, a real team goal actually. It was, you know, one of those classic, you know, pass down the field, and then finished with the hand. So Kilkenny got, I would say Kilkenny got the games they needed during the summer. Do you know what I mean? They beat Cork actually in the league final earlier in the year, but there was only a point between them that day. So that's traditionally how close their games are. Whereas Cork had they were in a group that had Wexford, Dublin, who after a brilliant year last year lost a lot of players and weren't as strong this summer. They had Tip, they had Meath in their group, and Offaly, and they met Tip in the semi-final. And while Tip actually gave them a great, gave Cork a great game, probably I think for about 20-25 minutes, you know, they overran them in the end, 21-9. So, yeah, Gina, yes, I think Kenny got the games they wanted in the build-up. They're match tough at this stage.
Who do you think, come Sunday, will emerge victorious?
It might sound weird to say, but I have a sneaking feeling for Cork. And not only have they been scoring more freely and in a more attacking vein, and they may change their tactics, of course, you know, when they have to face this sweeper system and maybe another few extra defenders. But one of the things that's worth noting is that Breach Corkery has come out of retirement. Yeah. Now, she never actually did retire. 17-time All-Ireland winner in both hurling and football, Camogie and football. But she has made a big surprise appearance in their semi-final for Cork 4 months after she had a baby.
Yeah,
and
incredible.
I just think that maybe she has been brought back to do a bit of a one-to-one job maybe on Anne Dalton and try and create a bit of havoc in that normally very tight Kilkenny defence. So I'm just thinking that maybe Cork could win this one.
Yeah, and just in general, I suppose this year we've had so much football, and you know, with the Super Eights and the introduction and the round robin. Do you think that has caused a kind of problem for promotion of Camogie, because it just seems there's so many games on, and Camogie this summer just seems to have not got the coverage that it deserves.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point. Even normally there's Camogie and ladies football, normally there's 2 weeks between those two games, you know, and they slot in between the All-Ireland hurling and football, whereas now they're going 1 week after another. They're coming on each other very fast. They're coming very fast on the All-Ireland, and they're coming earlier in the season. And also, yes, there were times, I think, where even though there were some good semi-finals, there was a really, I mean, the doubleheader down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh was a really good, their semi finals this year were really good, but they didn't seem to get an awful bit, they didn't get a decent crowd to it at all. And like, there have been some great stories.
Yeah.
Kerry, Dublin are back in the junior final this year. They lost it last year and they're back, but they're facing a Kerry team who are in an All-Ireland final for the first time, which is an amazing story. And Kerry have one fantastic player, Patrice Diggan. She's just a brilliant player. She plays Ashburn Cup for UL for years. She's a really good player. So like, that's a great story. And also Cork are back, having lost the last two intermediate finals.
Yeah.
They're back again trying to not lose three in a row, if you like.
Yeah.
So there are great stories there, but I'm inclined to agree with you. I think the first of all, the hurling season was so frenetic, and then there were so many games in the football. It is a little bit like they haven't got much coverage. And the reality is that they are always fighting for space, particularly in the traditional media, with men's football and hurling.
Yeah, and it's a great triple header on Sunday, and to start it off, you've Dublin and Kerry, and
yeah.
I was reading today they're hoping for over 20,000, so it will be great if they get a big crowd, because the crowd was pretty healthy last year, so it would be nice to get a big crowd there on Sunday.
They've never had they're actually aiming for 25,000.
Yeah, okay.
That's their sort of quiet aim behind the scenes. They have put together sort of a social media campaign around it, and the hashtag is Go Together, and they're trying to encourage people to go as families and go and support the game and try and get their numbers up to 25,000. Yeah, and the interesting thing is, like, Camogie has got live television in the last few years for its semi-finals, which it didn't have before. But last year, and I think possibly the year before, where their semi-finals played in conjunction with the men's semi-final, maybe, and that also helped to bring eyes to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
whereas
this
year that didn't happen. And the players themselves will say that they do think that when their big games are played, as the league finals have, the Division One league final has in the last few years, when it's played in front of a men's game, it does attract new eyes to it, and it does attract new fans to it, because even if people just come in early for the end of their game, come in early to the men's game, they see it and they're usually very impressed by it. You know, my worry for it at the moment is that we've a lot of women's teams now playing extra defenders. And I think that has taken away from the quality of the game, which had got lovely, a really open game once it went to 15 aside. But now, because you've packed defences, and women don't necessarily have the same strength to shoot from distance as men, you know, not all of them, I think it has created you know, a less attractive game and more one-sided games.
Yeah, and before I let you go, Cliona, I just want to talk about the Irish women's soccer team, because I think, again, with all the All-Ireland football coverage, their performance last Friday in winning 4-0 against Northern Ireland, it was an excellent performance, an excellent result, and they had a really, really great campaign. And I must, just before as well, Cliona, if any of our listeners are interested, she has an excellent podcast, Off the Bench, which is well worth a listen. But I suppose, Cliona, how would you sum up the Irish women's soccer campaign? It was quite impressive.
Yeah. I mean, they won 4-0 last Friday night out in Tallaght, but actually they should have won about 10-0.
Yeah.
I mean, they had beaten Northern Ireland very, you know, in their earlier meeting well, and it's a very young Northern Ireland team, and it was a dead rubber, and actually they had tons and tons of chances. But they did, Leanne Kernan, who's an absolute, you know, I think she is one of the rising stars of Irish soccer. She scored two goals, had her best one. Her third goal was disallowed for offside, but she scored an absolutely cracking third goal.
Yeah.
And Katie McCabe scored the other two, and they're two brilliant footballers. I think it was a really good campaign in that they had that famous draw with Holland in Holland, which, you know, was a massive result for them. And they are now established. Colin Bell has them playing a very particular style. He has introduced home training for the players who are based at home and not in England or in America, and that also seems to have improved the general standard and also the cohesiveness of them as a team. My only reservation about them, I think, is that he has them playing in such a structured style that very often it's ultra defensive, and their first instinct is to come back and defend rather sometimes than push on with their pace, because they really do have some brilliant talent. And it's interesting that a couple of players have moved. So Leanne Kernan, who is a young Cavan woman and who was playing with Shelburne, has just got a contract with West Ham. And you could nearly see already how her strength has improved from playing in England. Niamh Fahey, who's been playing for years and is one of the stalwarts of defence, she has come back from France and is playing with Liverpool this year. And then you have, you know, just really, you know, outstanding people like Louise Quinn, who's with Arsenal. So you have a really solid core of people. And interesting enough as well, you know, Katie McCabe is in Arsenal. Anya Gorman at home is a brilliant home player. And Rhianna Jarrett is back from three cruciate injuries and played well last week. But it was very interesting to see, Patrick, that Jessica Zhu, who plays for Shelburne, and she's only 16, came off the bench in that game last week. And I really loved her attitude. Her first two touches, they weren't good, and yet she never gave up, and she got stuck in, and she played very well. And so there is a layer of good youth coming through as well, which is really promising. There's a good structure there. The sponsors are on board. You know, they have the same sponsors as the men now, who are promoting them and seem to be taking care of them and supporting things like those training sessions for the home-based players. They're on the right path, considering when you think that, was it less than 2 years ago that players were you know, threatening to strike because they weren't being treated very well. So it is better. I think physically they need to get a lot stronger. I think their strength and conditioning and that end of their game needs to develop, because when they met the teams like Holland and Norway, they were so much physically stronger than them.
Yeah.
And that's where I think they need to get stronger. It's just they need to get physically strong, because the skills are there.
Great. Listen, Cliona, I appreciate you giving our time today. Thanks a million for joining us today.
Not at all. My pleasure.
That was Cliona Foley. She has an excellent podcast, Off the Bench, and you can read, she has columns in various publications, and she really, really set the scene for a brilliant game on Sunday. Now, we're just going to take a piece of music, and after that, we're going to be talking to Darren Daly, who will be telling us, Tommy Daly, I should say, who of Darrendale Football Club, who's going to be telling us about a fundraiser they're having this Saturday. And I'm delighted, I should be joined on the line by Tommy Daly of the Darrendale Football Club. Tommy, how are you today?
How are you doing? Are you well, pal?
Not too bad. So, Tommy, you've a big event coming up on Saturday, a match against the Substars. Can you tell us a little bit about the game?
Yeah. We put it together. We sort of want to relaunch the club again. We lost a lot of teams. We were finding it hard to get kids, players back. But we've after launching an academy, which is unbelievable. We've nearly 50, 60 kids in our academy.
Yeah.
So we want to try and grow from strength to strength. So we're having like a relaunch of the club to try and get kids playing back for the club. So we says we do a charity football match against the Soapstairs from Emmerdale, Coronation Street, Hollyoaks, Fair City, Red Rock, and it's just gone from strength to strength. It's just unbelievable at the moment. And the match is kicks off at 2:30 on Darrendale Park on Saturday the 8th of September, which is this Saturday the 8th of September. It's a free event, so everybody is more than welcome to come down. It's a community event and beyond. If people want to come down, get their pictures with the celebrity Soapstairs, they want to come down and support Darrendale on, if they want to just come down and watch the match, they're more than welcome. It's free in. We have the Champions League, the Premiership Trophy, and we have the FA Cup on display for people to get their photographs done.
Brilliant, yeah.
So it's a massive event for the area and for the whole community.
Yeah, and it looks great. Was it a hard job? Like, just looking at the people. I'm not a soap fan myself, but like, you have brilliant stars there. Was it hard to get them involved to come over for the game?
Not really. I was in contact with a friend of mine, Tony Brown, who usually does a lot of this stuff and does legend stuff.
Yeah.
And we had a chat, and I said I wanted to do something. So he said, leave it with me, and then we put this together. But there's a lot of other people involved in this that they're going through the windmill, as we would say, with us. And we put there's been a lot of hard work, a lot of tears now,
yeah,
I have to
yeah.
say. But we're just there now, and it's fantastic. And I'd just like to mention Madeleine Ebbs from Dublin City Council.
Yeah.
She's been fantastic. She's been like a rock. She's done a whole lot towards to make this happen.
Yeah.
Susan French, our new treasurer of the club, she's been just like a rock. She's without Susan and Madeleine, I don't think this would have happened. And then we have the likes of Darren Sherlock, David Perry. These are the unsung heroes.
Yeah.
Kevin French, that are really putting in the hours to make this happen.
Yeah.
So without these people, this wouldn't have happened. And obviously without Brian Dell and Dublin City Council, the Parks Department, they've gone above and beyond to get us a pitch, make us a pitch.
Yeah.
Do everything that we've asked for. So, like, everything is in place. We just want to promote and get as many people down to the park Saturday as possible for a fun community day. And by all accounts, it looks like it's going to be a super day.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I know you're involved with the juniors there. It's great to get young people involved in sport because it gives them something to do. So it must be great for the kids in the area just to get involved in the Darrendale Soccer Club.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I'm only back now from training the academy with the lads, and there's 60 kids up there.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. We have them in 4, 5, 6 and 7. The great news is, as on from tonight, we have now made 2 more under-8 teams that are officially going into the league in a week or 2 weeks' time. So that's phenomenal. We have another 2 teams going into the league. We've had our under-11s. A couple of months ago, we barely a team. So we've an academy of dribblers, and now we've up to 3 teams now in 4 months. So it's certainly going in the right direction. But if I could just say, a lot of people have put a lot of time and effort into this.
Yeah.
Dublin City Council have been fantastic. They'd be our main sponsor with the Clayton Hotel. Fella called Brian Herb, absolutely fantastic. Another main sponsor of this is Martin's Clonshock, the Prizewood Pub. Without these people, this event couldn't happen, and we're really very grateful. But there's been other people there as well that has helped us. Like, we have the New Life Centre, Elsa Security, the Lucio's Chipper and Darrendale Spear 17, Bob's News and Off License, Sherlock Shop, also Darren Sherlock, the Bridge House Dublin. It's just unbelievable the amount of people that help. But the itinerary of the event is absolutely very good. Then arriving from Manchester, there was a bus there to pick them up, bring them to the Clayton Hotel. They come down to the village centre in Darndale from about 11:15, in around that time they'll arrive. They got all their pictures with all the sponsors. They'll be there on the day. I think the Lucio Shipper are putting some platters of food out for everybody. So we're going to try and get people up to the village centre, get their pictures taken with them. After that, they will be arriving. They will go back to the hotel. They'll have a bite to eat. Then they'll arrive at 2 o'clock down in Darndale Park. They'll meet the Lord Mayor, who is kicking off the match, which is fantastic. They'll meet Dublin City Council representation. They'll get a few pictures there. They go out and they'll play a football match. But which the great news is, because it's a community event, we've local rivals, and our local rivals are the kids, would be St. Columbans. So we've invited St. Columbans to come down and walk out with the Soapstairs and the Darndale team. They're under eights and they're under eights, so they're going to walk out together, which is great for them. We'll play the match. We're going to play for 15 minutes each way, and after the second 15 minutes, air under eights and Columbans under eights will play a little 10-minute match there in front of the crowd. Back to the match. Everything should be absolutely brilliant. They'll stay and get their pictures taken. They'll back to the hotel, get changed, and then they'll all arrive in Prizewood Pub at between 5:30 and 6:15, and they'll be there till 9 o'clock, which is phenomenal. And then they'll leave there and they'll head into the Bridge House then for about 9:30, and then there they'll go. Whenever they go after that is down to the lads. But it's a lot, as you can imagine, a lot of hard work, a lot of graft has gone in by everybody. But that's just to mention a few people that has really, really helped us out.
Yeah, no, so, it's a brilliant event. And before I let you go, Tommy, for people that want to get more information, do you have a Facebook or a Twitter page?
Yeah, we have the Darndale FC page if people want to get on, or if they want to just log on to my page on Facebook, Thomas Daly. But it's a free event. It's costing nothing. It's a community event. It's a relaunch for the football club. Yeah. It's just there's a lot of people down there. There's a CE scheme, believe it or not, going on in the field at the moment.
Yeah.
And the whole park has never looked as well as it does now. They've started their all-weather pitch, Dublin City Council, a lot of money. And then after our match on Monday, they're doing the drainage then on air pitches. Yeah. So everything is absolutely flying. We're going in the right direction. And kids want to play football again. And that is the big thing. Win, lose or draw, it is no interest to any of us.
Yeah.
The motto is have fun, enjoy and just play football. That's where we are at the moment.
That's brilliant. Listen, Tommy, you're doing great work there along with, you've mentioned loads of other people. The best of luck on Saturday. It looks like a great event and everyone should go down because it's a really, really great initiative. And as we said earlier, it's just so brilliant to see so many people getting involved and young people getting involved in sport, because it is a great thing, sport.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And for the area at the moment, it's brilliant. It's getting people back involved. And it's, I don't know, maybe a long time ago, Darndale Football Club was people had dropped their kids off, and that's it. It's not like that now. The parents are very much involved, very much hands-on, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But on the Saturdays when the matches is done, it's down to the managers, which is brilliant. And it's just, I think just the last 4 or 5 months, it's just brought a buzz around the whole area with bigger things to happen. Please God, in the future. But at the moment, everything is flowing and we're just looking for everybody from the community and from beyond the community that want to come down and have a great day down in Darndale Park. As I said, the Premiership Trophy, the Champions League Trophy and the FA Cup Trophy will be there on the day. And it's unbelievable. I will be putting up an itinerary tomorrow of everything that's happening and what times it's happening. For anyone that wants to get involved, they might not be able to make it down to the match, but they might be able to make it up to the Village Hall or the Village Centre in Darndale. And there's been a lot of people involved. So, we're nervous, but we're getting there. We're getting there now.
Yeah. Listen, Tommy, thanks again for joining us. The best of luck on Saturday. And hopefully you will have a great day there.
Brilliant. Come here, you're a gentleman. Thank you very much for everything. And I'll talk to you soon. God bless, pal.
No
thank
problem.
You.
That was Tommy Daly of the Darndale Football Club. It looks like a great event. I'm just looking at the time and I'm totally out of time. So I'd like to thank my two guests today. Earlier on in the show, I had Cliona Foley, and there we are talking to Tommy Daly of the Darndale Football Club. Thanks everyone for listening, and I'll talk to you at the same time next week.